Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Radio Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, please feel free to email me at bonk@aol.com. That's bonk@aol.com. I would like to welcome all of you back to the show. I was off for a couple weeks because I was trying to recover from really bad viral, infection. And I was really on my way back and it was hit again. So if I sound a little hoarse to you today, please realize that's what the reason is. But I would like to welcome all of you back. It's always wonderful when I get letters when I'm not on the air saying, where are you? How are you? And I do appreciate your support to the many thousands of people every month who listen to this broadcast. The purpose of this broadcast is to let you know that you're not alone and there's a lot of support out your way. And whenever you need help, all you have to do is type in bonk@aol.com, click in, and I'll be there. So while I'm waiting for my guest tonight, Suzette Vernon, who's been slightly delayed, I would like to make some announcements. And the first one, of course, is the big one, is that our healing weekend is only weeks away. It's already the beginning of March, and at the end of April, we will be gathering here in Philadelphia to support each other. It's a wonderful weekend, our healing weekends, and women leave these weekends totally differently than they came into them. Just knowing that there are other women there who can understand everything you say in a large group, and you don't even have to say anything. It's just so validating to so many women who feel so isolated most of the time. It's not like every place you go, you say, oh, you have a gay husband too. It just doesn't happen that way. So women who are going through our situation, they really need support, and they really need to make that connection with other women to know that they're not the only ones traveling on this journey. There are literally millions of us, but until you actually meet someone, it's just a number. Meeting women who can talk to you, who can share their stories, make a connection to you is so valuable. And I know from the women who have attended our healing weekends, not only once, but some of them twice or three or even four times, just to get that charge to move forward for the year and to learn different strategies on how to start healing rather than just thinking all the time, it's been a wonderful experience. And that's why I do these healing weekends every year. So this year it will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and there's never a charge for the conference itself. This is my gift to our women. And the only expenses you have are the travel expenses and the eating expenses, and the rest, like I say, it's just a mini vacation, or look at it as a retreat or a healing weekend. If you are interested in joining me and some wonderful women, please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And also, I'd like to send a shout out to my adopted nephew, who always listens to the show. Know that I think of you every week when I'm doing the show, and hopefully it's always a learning experience. Tonight, while I'm waiting for Suzette, I'm going to talk about an article that a number of us in my group have discussed. And there's been some controversial feelings about this article. It was sent to me from a friend who's part of our network in the UK. That's how I first became aware of it, and I thought it was a very interesting thought. And I'm going to read you the title of this, and I'm going to read you this article, and maybe you can have some ideas that you could write to me about how you feel about this particular situation. And the headline is this: Grandfather comes out age 95. And so let me see what this article here will tell you. Okay, a man marries his wife for 67 years, decides to come out at age 95. All right, so let's hear this article. It's never too late. Is it ever too late to come to terms with one's true nature? Perhaps not. Meet Roman, who decided at age 95 that it was time to set the record straight. In a 3.5-minute video interview with popular YouTube Davey Wavy, himself a gay man, Roman, who is now 96, says that he has had a wife for 67 years, five grandchildren and one great-grandchild. But last year, he decided it was time to come out of the closet. Davey told the BBC that he was connected with Roman through his grandson, Brandon Gross. I happened to be in L.A. at the time and was immediately captivated by the story, he said. So why did Roman wait until he was 95? He told Davey Wavy there were certain things I want the world to know. He said he knew his true sexual orientation when I was 5 years old, and said he knew his true sexual orientation even prior to that. And how did his family react to the news that he had broke to them? I just told him plain that I was born and was gay all my life. I told him that the whole tragedy of my life and that they understood what happened to me, he said. Can you imagine this, 90 years to be in the closet? Asked by Davey if he is now seeking a relationship with a boyfriend, Roman blushes, covers his face, and looks away. Yes, he responds, avoiding eye contact with Davey. What kind of guy do you go for? What does he look like? I don't care, he says. I don't look at the face, I look at the heart. Somebody to lean against, somebody who feels the heart ticking. And finally, now that he has let the world know his tale, what is he looking to gain? I want to go to sleep and have somebody close to me, not for any other reason but to be sure that someone cares. Speaking to the BBC, Davey said he wanted his audience to witness Roman's complex story. On the one hand, it's a triumphant story of a 95-year-old man coming out of the closet and shedding the weight of a 9-decade secret. On the other hand, Roman's story is also deeply emotional and at times quite difficult. At some level, it's a story of lost opportunities. You can't help but wonder had the circumstances been different, how Roman's story could have ended differently. And you also feel for Roman's wife. While they undoubtedly loved each other in a deep way, both Roman and his wife deserve passion and sexual intimacy. Do they have that despite Roman being gay? I don't know. But there is something fundamentally human about Roman's experience, he says. It's a simple yearning that drives all of us. In it, we see Roman's humanity, and we see ourselves. Roman's grandson, Brandon, is making a film about his grandfather's story and the complexity of love, marriage, and deeply held family secrets called On the Way Out. And Davey says the response he has received since he uploaded the video has been overwhelming. Since posting the story, I've received an overwhelming response from viewers ranging from youth, joyous to tearful. I'm not sure if Roman has seen the video, but I'm sure he'd be moved by the response. So this was the story, and it really did create a lot of different feelings, you know, for the women that I shared it with. And not all of them were very positive feelings. Some people really felt that this grandfather, or great-grandfather, at age 85, had already lived his life. And now, to put his family through this, after all of these years, was wrong. Other people felt, well, you know, finally the secret's out. And how other people feel, well, I guess that's up to you. On a personal level, here's how I feel. I feel that these types of situations that, you know, are just very disastrous all the way around. But most importantly, once again, it shows that the whole issue of straight wives matter is really not mattering very much here. Because there was only one little mention about his wife, and this is a woman who gave 67 years of her life to a man that she loved, who could never gain the love back that she was expecting because he's a gay man. And once again, he's being applauded, as, you know, gay men are when they come out, when they're married, for, you know, being heroes and being brave. And that's not exactly how I feel. And I've been really clear about this, about who are the heroes in this. When it comes to the gay community, I don't know any gay man who isn't pressured as much as another gay man as far as the pressures of society to go and get married and to go and have children. I think it's a pressure on all gay men, especially gay men from different parts of the country, different cultures. And I don't think one gay man is more pressured than another gay man. I think all gay men are pressured. But who are the real heroes here? When somebody comes out and somebody says after 9 decades that I'm gay and I've been married 67 years, but I want a man to be, you know, living with and to be leaning against and to be there for me, I really don't think he's a hero. I think the true heroes are those gay men who never got married and who never brought anybody down with them. And so many times when I speak to gay men, they say the reason why they're getting married is precisely because they feel as if they're victims of society. They feel that society has pressured them into doing this. And what they really fail to see is that even if society's pressuring them, that what they're doing by marrying a woman who is totally unsuspecting or unknowing, that he's doing the same thing to her as society's doing to him. In other words, women go into these marriages really feeling that this is going to be it. This is, you know, they devote their life to this. They fall in love with a man. They're looking for a happily ever after future. They have no idea or an understanding of homosexuality. And I would like to address that for a moment also, because so many times I've had people from the gay community say, and these are people who are supposedly experts on straight gay marriages. There's a few of them out there, you know, like Rick Clemens and, you know, a few others who claim that, you know, women go into these marriages knowing that their husbands are gay, but because they're kind of desperate or they're losers, that's why they're marrying them anyway. There is nothing further from the truth than that. And I would like to say that even if you suspect that your husband had past experiences or that your husband was gay and you married him anyway, it's not because you understand gay. It's because you misunderstand gay. Men who get married to women who have no clue about homosexuality, it's just like that. Why would the woman ever suspect that a man is going to be a gay man when he's looking to marry you? There is no truth to that at all. So the whole point is that when you do get married to a man, even if you had suspicions that he could have been gay in the past, you don't think he is in the present because gay men don't want to marry women. That's the concept that we grow up with. So it's really untrue that women who are married to gay men had an inkling beforehand or suspected it, because even if they suspected something might have been in the past, they didn't understand it wasn't going to be there in the present and in the future. And the gay husband, I always give him credit. A lot of times I get a lot of flack from women. I give him credit for saying that he really loved his wife and he really didn't want to be gay. And he felt that if he loved her enough, that he could overcome these feelings. And I still stand by that. I still really believe in my heart that that's the way it happened. But the bottom line is that he still did it. And once again, it didn't change anything. Things only deteriorated as time went on. So I think my guest is here so we can discuss this with her too. Hold on for just a moment. And is that you, Suzette?
Hi, dear.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. How are you doing, Bonnie?
I'm doing good. I have a little cold, so I apologize for my nasal sound, but that's okay.
Yeah, the weather has been so up and down.
For sure, especially here on the East Coast. But I was discussing this article that, you know, I posted about the 95-year-old who came out as a gay husband, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at that article. But after 90 years or so, he's 95 years old, he decided he had to come out to his family after being married for 67 years. And the article was very, you know, uplifting about how brave he was and what he's really looking for. And he wants a relationship now that he's 96 years old with another man, which everybody thinks is so sweet and so wonderful. But once again, to me, it just proved my whole adage that there's nothing in here except for one sentence about his wife. And nothing about what her emotional impact was. And I said that, you know, members of our group were really discussing this article this week and had varied opinions that should he have come out at 95 or he's almost at the end of the line, does he have to put his family through this? You know, why did he wait so long? You know, there was a lot of controversy about it. So how would you feel about something like that, Suzette?
Wow. About, good gracious, waiting to 95 years old.
Yes, he did. He was a great-grandfather, and he still waited.
Wow. That one just kind of blows me away. Interestingly, what you were saying about there's nothing about his wife, I would love to hear her take on it. I would love to hear, you know, but maybe the subtle piece that maybe she didn't, that she missed, or just how she feels, what things went on behind closed doors that we don't know about.
We don't know about it because nothing's in here about it. You know, in this whole article, there was one line that he was married to a woman, but here it says that his grandson who produced this little video about his coming out, and it says, since posting the story, I've received an overwhelming response from viewers ranging from joyous to tearful. And, you know, my point is this. Once again, this man is now a hero. And my whole theme is that straight wives really don't matter because people think that we knew this ahead of time or we were willing to live with it. And I was just explaining before you came on the show that most of us who get married, even if we had an inkling, even if we had suspicions that our husbands had passed in some kind of gay activity, we don't understand homosexuality. And I can say that because I was in that situation. I said, if they tried it and they didn't like it, then they realized that's not who they are, because that's how we were raised and socialized. That somebody could try something, maybe they were weakened at the moment or drunk or an experiment. I grew up in the, you know, era of sexuality all over the place. But we did not understand it. So these men like Rick Clemens and a few of the others, you know, who come out and say, well, straight wives knew what they were getting into, but they chose to do it anyway because, you know, chances are they were desperate or had their own self-esteem issues. I really resent that. I really feel that just belittles us even more than the rest of the world is doing. How do you feel about that?
I agree. And then there are layers. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There are genuinely women who had no clue, so they got kind of blindsided, you know. And I think that is really injurious to the different shades and everything that we all uniquely go through. Everybody's story, there are similarities, but the way we all got there is very unique and it's very different. And, I was just thinking about what you were saying about this man. And, you know, I'm wondering if part of this outpouring is because of how people feel the world is right now, where they feel like their rights are not being honored by the government. So I think there might be a predisposition towards applauding anyone that had the quote-unquote courage to stand up or to come out, because a lot of different cultures and races and sectors in this country feel disenfranchised.
Well, they were being applauded long before they were being applauded long before the election. I mean, this has been going on indefinitely. This is just the latest. So long before any kind of political talk or any kind of political, you know, thoughts at all I don't believe it has anything to do with that. I think that
I think it's heightened. You know, sure, the LGBT community has been, you know, coming out and everything. But then you have to remember, I live in North Carolina, where we're still our officials are still deadlocked about HB2. So my perspective is a little different.
Yeah, I just see that these people have been, like I say, it's been going on for a long time. When people came out, starting with Caitlyn Jenner becoming a transgender, Joel Grey in show business, and this is long before, you know, the political situation became like this. And I just got an update from, before you got on the show, I sent a shout out to my adopted nephew, who's a big fan of yours, who listens to the show, and he just sent me an article saying, can you imagine 90 years in the closet? You know, the article I was talking about. And here's a picture of the wife, you know, in this article, which wasn't in the other one. It says, Roman's wife, Ruth, had known he was gay since the birth of their second child. Roman, who had been married for 67 years, spoke about his decision to tell his family, I just told them the plane that I was born and I was gay my whole life. I told the whole tragedy of my life and they understood what happened to me. The Holocaust survivor said he had known he was gay since he was 5 years old, adding, can you imagine 90 years to be in the closet? Speaking to the youth, I mean, that's pretty much the same. I was trying to see if there was anything here mentioned of his wife. Not really, but I did get to see her picture and find out that she's known this for all these years. So, I don't know. These are very complex, complicated situations. And
yeah.
I just feel very bad that once again, and thank you, nephew, for sending this my way for tonight. But I feel very badly because once again, whether it was brave of him or not brave of him, when there's just a little tiny line about his wife, which really, to me, is the whole point that people aren't looking for how we're feeling about things. People aren't looking about the tragedy it's done to our lives. It says, I told them the whole tragedy of my life and they understood what happened to me. The tragedy of his life. But what about all the fallout for our lives? And this is my whole point, that we don't get that kind of empathy, acknowledgement, bravery. We're the ones who should be getting awards for living through these marriages that are not true marriages, and sacrificing ourselves and giving up years of our lives that could have been happy, fulfilling lives if we had a different kind of a husband. Do you agree with that?
The world is not a very fair place, you know. I think it's very sad that women have to be re-injured because they're overlooked, because their stories are not told, because no one's interested. I remember some time back, and I don't know if you remember this, Bonnie, when an article was written about me and my ex-gay husband. it appeared in Essence magazine. And when we got the call, my then husband, I did not know what the call was about, but he said that we had been, we were going to be featured in Essence magazine because they were really in awe about our relationship, and they wanted to do a story about us. And so I was kind of stunned, but I was like, well, okay, because at that time I was still to a certain degree in denial about some things. I had not caught my husband. This was our second time around. You know, things were not great between us, but we had our moments where we got along great. From a general standpoint, it's just the intimacy, sensual part of it that was difficult. But for the most part, we got along swimmingly. And so, you know, it was almost like a story of redemption. You know, this man, this marriage that once ended, now, you know, it was recovered, a family put back together again, and that's the way he sold it to me. So, you know, I did this interview, but during the course of the interview, it became very clear that something inside me was saying, something's kind of off about this, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Well, when the article came out, I understood what my intuition was already picking up on, but I wasn't sure about. The whole article was a inaccurate depiction, and my intuition was so very grieved because the way that story went down was as if, he had been gay or whatever. I'm remembering it in pieces. It was that, you know, we women need to expand our stilted beliefs about sexuality. That this one size fits all box that we've been in, gay, straight, that there are shades to sexuality, and if women were more open about those shades, they could be happy like me and my husband were. And I was like, what the heck? What do you mean, shades? What do you mean? And I was so enraged by it. Even in my denial, I think sometimes even in our denial, something inside of us knows when something is not right, and we react to it very strong. And I think the part of me that was not getting my needs met as a woman in that relationship was appalled that they would say that we were the ours was a Cinderella story. We were the modicum of a comeback. You know, that if you keep an open mind about sexuality and that you can be happy like they are too. And I was thinking to myself, no, and I ended up writing her a very, very intense letter saying, you don't know what it's like to live with somebody like this. And I resent the fact that he misrepresented what this interview was going to be about, and that you've taken this and made it and have romanticized how awful it is to live with somebody that you get along well with, but that you cannot have a normal sexual relationship with. And I put it all out there. But to add to what your story is, she wasn't interested in running my story. She didn't call me back. She didn't ask me for my side of it. She liked her Cinderella story. She liked this what angle she was coming from, and I never heard from her again.
That's another point that I'd like to bring out, is that, and just a side note about this story, this came up in our support group too this week, about, you know, press stories and going to the press. And I wrote to, you know, the people in our group. I said, look, I've been on every possible show just about that you can think of, or been a consultant to the show. You know, I filled in Oprah long before she was the famous as she is now. But, you know, in her early days, I was on her show, Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, you know, Fox News. I've done loads of shows in Canada. The UK came and, you know, filmed me. Lots of stuff. But it was different back then than it is now, because back then in the 80s, and even the 90s, people had humanity when it came to story. Now everything has changed, and now it's just like everybody wants a Jerry Springer kind of story. And when the press comes to me and they say, we would like to do a story, you know, that we know that you're the person who we go, the go-to person. And they always want a couple that's making it work. And I said, I don't represent couples that are making it work, because hardly any couples are happy about making this work. It's not to say they don't have any, but that's not the overwhelming majority of women. And I don't like this story having to be tread on or trampled or distorted to make people think, yeah, it is okay to have a gay husband, and you can overcome it, and you don't have to complain about it, and everybody has something wrong in their marriage, and not everybody has sex forever, and put the blame once again on us if we're not happy in these marriages. Do you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. And it's interesting, because a lot of times we are in denial until somebody tries to make it out to be more than what it is. It's almost like we're in denial until somebody says, oh, my God, you seem so happy. Oh, your husband adores you. Oh, he's just the best father. Oh, I wish my husband was like yours. That's when the denial comes down and we go, wait a minute, it's not that wonderful.
Right.
It's like we can kind of, you know, play it. We can play in the closet to a certain degree. But when people over-romanticize it, that's when denial kind of takes a back seat and we say, oh, but wait a minute, au contraire. This is, you don't know what it takes for me to be in this relationship. You don't know the silent frustration. You don't know the humiliation. You don't know the shame. You don't know the many lonely nights where I lay in the bed wondering why he won't touch me. You don't know what it's like to go through this thing of having a nice, nasty relationship where you're made out to be the bad guy because everybody thinks your husband is so wonderful. So, you know, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. And I totally get it. Yeah.
I know. I just feel very bad that there hasn't been much action as far as us making any progress as straight wives. And I'm not sure where the disconnect is, where what we're doing wrong, that we're just on the other end of the stick, that we're never the heroes, that we're never the brave ones, that people look at us and say, well, a variety of different things, like maybe you weren't woman enough for him, maybe if you had been a better wife, you know, even if he had these feelings, if you were a good enough wife, maybe they wouldn't have popped up. You know, somehow it just seems to get back to us, and I just don't get it. You know, and there has to really be something done. I mean, and nowadays, you know, of course, with everybody being so politically correct, overly so in my opinion, if you ever say anything about the lesbian or gay community or bisexual, transgender, LGBT, whatever the letters may be today, but, you know, not to say that with a grain of salt. I mean, certainly I'm a very big advocate of gay rights. I've always been. Has nothing to do with having a gay husband, wanting people to have gay rights. But the point is that we're just not getting the support. I mean, I would think that the lesbian and gay community would say, you know what, it's not right that these people are being victimized by our people who feel they're victims, that we have to say, no, this is not right to do, and stop perpetuating it and saying we're going to stop it every way that we can, and that we have sympathy for those women who got involved in these marriages. I mean, I just don't see any of that. Do you?
No, I don't. And I think maybe, possibly, with people feeling more comfortable coming out of the closet, with there being some normalization, you know, some outcry of, you know, you should love who you want to love, maybe with that option, some of these men will stop. The hope is that they will stop victimizing women because there will be no reason to. You know, so I hear what you're saying, and I can understand the frustration because, of course, I've been there. I've been there and done that, got a T-shirt and a couple of scars to show for it. But at the very same time, I think we have to start somewhere. And to their credit, the LGBT community has taken their issues to vehicles, through vehicles that are getting them heard more so than they used to be. And unless straight wives are willing to do the same, I'm not sure
You're right. I'm upholding the gay community for standing up for themselves. You're absolutely right. The gay community has gotten the acknowledgement it has because they stood up and they fought. And there were many gay heroes that have put their lives on the line to do that. And with a lot of very sad repercussions for many who were beaten up and mugged and killed. But they put themselves on the line to fight for gay rights. And one thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. I always tell people being gay has nothing to do with being a gay husband. It's two totally separate issues. And I think that all the women who are part of our support network, and there's so many of them, will really confirm the fact that many of them have gay friends. They're open-minded to gays. It had nothing to do with their whole horror over this. It has nothing to do with the gay community. It's not about the gay community. It's about the man you marry in good faith who's not living the life with you that he's supposed to be. So
yeah, it's
not
about
a straight gay issue per se, right?
No, it's a character issue, deception issue. You know, and you know, for us, most of the women that I know, myself included, a lot of times if you hear about something, a marriage or a relationship going awry, and the person has been deceitful, the main thing that we women say is, I wish you had been honest with me. I think the issue for us that have gone through this is this person played us. You know, they played us, they pretended, or they told us that we burnt the bread, or they told us that we didn't smell good, or they told us all these reasons and made it about us, and tried to make it about us and our failings, instead of really owning the fact that you don't want to be with a woman. That's the tragedy for us. It's not the honesty. I don't think so much it's the coming out of the closet that bothers most women. And please check me if I'm wrong. I don't think it's so much that gay husbands, gay boyfriends, or whatever came out of the closet. The issue was, why the heck did you take me in the closet with you? I didn't ask to go into the closet with you, but you were willing to risk my emotional, social, spiritual, psychological, and mental health by putting me in this prison of a closet with you. And now after years and years of being here, where I've been trying to contort myself to try to be a good wife, a good mother, be desirable, now you're telling me that all the reasons you gave me for not wanting me had nothing to do with me at all. They were all about you. That's why there's anger when it comes to straight wives from my standpoint. It's the deception.
Absolutely. Exactly. And once again, it's not a gay thing. It's, you know, the whole deception thing. But it's not even the deception thing. It's the whole blame thing rather than take responsibility and say, I was the one at fault. I'm the one who, you know, was responsible. And this is why one of the things that has to change are the marriage laws in this country. Because until they change, until people can accept that there is could be a fault divorce in these cases, that this issue will never be recognized. And so many of our women are just totally bankrupted in these marriages, having to pay for legal help and going to court and losing what they have. And it has nothing to do with, like, no-fault divorce. When you marry with good intentions and you're a good wife and you've done everything right, and things change and your husband wants to leave you for a man, why is that no fault? There is fault there. And I'm really tired of hearing that, well, there's two sides to every story. No, there's not. Not this story. There's only one side. You have a gay husband. And I feel that if he made that mistake, even if it wasn't to be, and I don't think that gay, I said it before you came on, gay husbands do not have this thing where they're thinking in their head, ooh, I'm thinking ways that I could throw up some woman's life. It doesn't work that way. These men are trying so hard not to be gay. And they do love women the best of to their ability. But they think that kind of love and their desperation not to be gay is going to be good enough, you know, to not have, to have those feelings go away and not, you know, resurface again. But that's not what happens. So when it starts surfacing again, and that's when a lot of the abuse sets in, and that's when, you know, the men feel frustrated. They feel that they're, you know, in prison, that, you know, they feel that they're just, you know, they can't keep going on like this, and they take it out on us looking for reasons to make us miserable. So a lot of destruction is done, but the point is that there is fault here, because the man should at least be decent enough to say, you know what, I made a mistake. I thought I could do this. I thought I could be a good husband to you, and I tried my best. I tried everything I could, but I can't be. I'm a gay man. But because I am a gay man, I'm going to tell you what. Because I feel that, you know, I've done so much harm here by not being the kind of husband that you were hoping to have. I at least want to help you out as far as transitioning to the next point of your life. I will pay the legal expenses. I will pay the legal bills. It's my responsibility to take care of the family and do what we have to. But, you know, to have an amicable arrangement or agreement, I'm taking full responsibility. And I'm sick and tired of men who say, well, the marriage wouldn't have lasted anyway, because that is such a cop-out to me. When they start criticizing their wives and saying, well, you don't know what she's really like. Well, guess what? I don't really care what she's really like. The point is, we don't know what she would have really been like if she had had a straight husband. But when you have to constantly respond back to some kind of false stuff going on in your marriage, and you're living in the world of Alice in Wonderland, going under that through that glass mirror, not knowing what's true and what's not true, how do you expect women to react to that? Doesn't it change them?
Yeah. Oh God, it changes everything about them that they held dear, because that's the thing. You can't, like I said in my book, you don't have the plumbing. So everything that makes you a woman is subjected to criticism.
Uh-huh.
Everything. And you can't change that, and you don't want to change that. You know, you don't want to change being a woman. You want to be loved as a woman. And it is very, very, it's demoralizing to live with somebody who does not prefer you as a woman. And as a result of that, criticizes the very fabric of who you are.
Exactly. To me, to take away a woman's sense of sexuality and who she is as a woman, and to rob her of that, to me, is really a crime.
It is.
Men just don't do that.
It is.
But to take a basic human need.
Yeah. And to even get her to agree to it. Because a lot of times you hear it, and you'll hear straight wives saying, well, and it's like they'll talk about intimacy, and they'll say, well, yeah, I know sex isn't everything. Yes, it is.
Maybe it's not everything, but in these marriages, it's not anything, because there is none.
And that's but my thing is, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Your gay husband wants you to agree to his distorted view of sexuality. He has no regard for heterosexual intercourse. He has no regard for it, but he has regard for gay intercourse. And so you can't go with him when he says, well, you know, sex isn't everything. You know, our friends don't have it but once a week, or our friend doesn't have it but once every 3 months. At least we have it once a month. No, that's BS. Because the issue is you're trying to get me to be okay and to co-sign on your depriving me of what you promised to give me in the marriage. You want me to accept it as if getting older and la 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 is supposed to stop you from wanting me. And we talked about this. It's not necessarily the intercourse act. It's the simple fact of being wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think there's an age for that. Obviously, this 90-something-year-old man knows what it's like to want somebody, even in his 90s. So, my God, if he can want another man in his 90s, then we should not be accepting the fact that in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, our husbands don't want us.
Exactly.
Because people aren't having sex. Yes, they are having it. And if they don't have it, they want to.
Uh-huh.
I'm 80 years old with saggy knees to still say, girl, you still do it for me. Even if he can't get it up, he can't do nothing else, I want him to still wish he could.
but like here's another thing that really bothers me is that I hear this story from a number of gay men, of course, when they come to me for help, that, you know, their wives are just not very sexual. Now, that to me is ridiculous. Maybe their wives aren't sexual because we get tired of having to feel humiliated because we want to have sex. And that's what it is in many cases. You know, the more somebody rejects you, the less you want to keep begging for it. Am I correct?
True. And you know, and sometimes, even in heterosexual relationships, it's not that, you know, so everybody does not have the same degree of mastery over the technique. But you still want that person to want to try, you know. And I mean, come on, the thing about it is you don't feel like having sex 24/7. Nobody wants to have sex 24/7. But the issue is that whether she wants to have it with you or not, she's not the issue. The issue is you. The issue is you're not being honest, and perhaps the spirit of your deception is what's draining her desire. There's no energy, there's no passion to feed her desire. So maybe that's where the drain is.
I think that's part of it, and I think another part of it is this. I'm not saying gay men can't have sex with a woman, but it's the difference between having sex and making love to a woman. I think that I've had men tell me firsthand that they fantasize about other men when they're with their wife in order for them to, you know, have an erection or an orgasm. And that's the way that they're able to have sex with their wives. They close their eyes. A lot of them have sex where they're not looking at their wives so that they can, you know, use that imagery for themselves. And what woman wants to keep having sex where it's not making love? I mean, if you just want to stick something inside of you, it doesn't mean anything. You know, you need
sure
that emotional intimacy.
Just go buy yourself a. I mean, if that's all he wants to do is poke you, go buy yourself a vibrator. You'll get much more pleasure out of that than you would.
Exactly, because you're in control. But, you know,
exactly.
You can please yourself. But with men, like I say, those who don't want to do it or they're just doing it because they have to do it, or they're on a schedule once a month or every 2 months to think that they're satisfying you so you won't think they're gay. And many of these men have told me that they're doing it because they don't want their wives to think that they're gay. And so when you think about that, how much, how much can you feel towards someone? How much sex do you want from them? It's dehumanizing after a while. You know, you just don't want to have it because the person's not making love to you. They're just having, you know, a sexual encounter with you. And not even a good one. And these men think they're studs. These men think they're top studs in their own minds because they can do it. They have no clue about, once again, the emotional intimacy that goes along with the physical intimacy because they cannot make that connection.
So true. So,
and we've all been there, and we all know what I'm talking about. You know, so these men, once again, can sit and blame you all they want that my wife doesn't really want sex. I'm a very sexual person, and she's not. Well, guess what? You're not that sexual with her, and when you are, it's not that good. So, you know, these men have to take some responsibility.
And you're not very sexual if you're okay with that excuse. If you're in love with your wife and she doesn't want to have sex with you, for a man, that's the most terrible thing in the world next to being impotent.
Exactly.
The woman that you love doesn't want to have sex with you, my God, that's tantamount to, my God, that the ultimate offense is like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? She doesn't want to do this with me? I mean, that's how we all feel. Sad.
Don't we all feel that way, Suzette? I mean, with these men, I mean, that's how you have to feel. My husband doesn't want me. How am I supposed to feel about myself? And then when he goes on, after he's tired of making excuses, see, once he runs out of, I'm too tired, work's too hard, I'm under financial pressure, the kids are around, once you've eliminated all these excuses by going on a romantic getaway or going somewhere where you can have time alone, and he's still not interested in sex with you, I mean, what do they think? We're stupid? I guess we are. We stay like that. Like, because we can't face our truth.
Very tolerant. I think we're very tolerant, and they depend on us being tolerant.
And understanding.
They depend on us. Mm-hmm. They're depending on us being tolerant because we love them, because they're trying.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I hear that all the time. Well, he's trying. When a man really loves you, he doesn't have to try to want you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to try to kiss you. He doesn't have to try to touch you. He doesn't have to try. The simple fact that he's having to try lets you know something is broken.
Well, one of the things I'd like to talk about for a minute is in your book, Protecting Your Emotional G-Spot, you know, there's a very good passage that relates to just what we're talking about. And Suzette is the author of some wonderful books, but this is my favorite. And it's called Protecting Your Emotional G-Spot, which women need to read this in order to realize the kind of situation you're really in. And you're talking about your own relationship, and you said, I think the reason I tolerated an imagined love connection with a man for over 12 years was because I believed that love was all-encompassing, abuse tolerating, and sensibility eroding. You might not have been positioned in front of a black-and-white television with a hanger as an antenna and a little static lines running through it as a child, watching the unrequited love between Bob and Lisa on the soap opera As the World Turns. You might have simply observed your mother and father and how they reacted or responded because of love. Cussing, throwing stuff, acting, setting cars on fire, slapping the other women in the daylight as if prelude to jaw-dropping passionate lovemaking at night might be hood love. But I so disagree with Mary Blige. It's not good love. It's neurotic. It's compulsive. It's obsessive. None of these adjectives have ever topped the list of healthy relationships. And that's what you talk about. Some of the women have grown up in so much drama that we find a good man and a good woman boring. Instead, we pick the bad boys. You know, and you talk about that. But once again, going back to your original point, that, you know, whatever we see, and we see this kind of chaos and that it's okay, a lot of times we just grow used to it. And some of us have seen this in our own families. You know, we're going from a fire to a frying pan in many cases where women came out of dysfunctional families, and they never saw the kindness and the truth of love. And so when they get into this kind of situation, it's not perfect, but they think, I have to accept it, right?
Yeah, it's like we want something different, but we don't know what different is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to be loved, we want to be cherished, we want to be treated well, but when you don't have anything to gauge that by, you'll end up rejecting the man that loves you and holding to the man that doesn't.
And this is the problem, right?
It is. It very much so is, and that's why a component of what I do is to help educate women about what is normal, what's not, how good men respond, how they don't, so that they have a measure, a gauge for what they accept in their lives. So they'll know the difference between unhealthy and healthy. Extreme and normal.
And this is so important for straight wives, Suzette, because of the fact that we haven't been living in a normal situation for years. Some women have spent 10, 20, 30, 40 years in a broken, ridiculous relationship based on lies and deception. And once the marriage is over and now they're thinking, I really would love to find someone who can love me in the way I deserve to be loved, when they haven't taken the time to heal themselves, because they took a few weeks and they say, now I'm ready. They're ready for nothing except for heartache. Am I right?
That's true. You're so right, because it's like after you get out of a relationship like that, you start, after you get through the drama and the divorce and the custody battles and the whatever, there is this sense of relief that you're finally out. And then you get to living your life, and, you know, you might be succeeding. You might go back to school. You might open a business. You might start doing something you never could have done because your gay husband would never permit you to do it, or things were too chaotic to do it. And for a while, you're just kind of feeling pretty good. And then you say to yourself, oh, God, I think I'm ready to date again. I think I'm ready. But here's the problem. It's two things that have to happen, in my opinion, before you get back out there. The first thing is you have to heal. You have to get all that negative, all that stuff that you went through that's lodged inside of your body, inside of the memory bank of your body. You got to get that out. And part of the way of getting it out is being educated as to what is normal and what is not. And that's the second part. The second part is then after you've gotten yourself straight, you need to understand how normal heterosexual men respond. Because you have to remember, you have been in a closet and have been fed a whole lot of BS in that closet. So you don't have a gauge for what's normal and what's abnormal. You don't know.
Exactly.
And it makes you, like we were saying, it makes you, he might be heterosexual, but he might be a predator because you don't
mm-hmm.
know how to recognize healthy. First, you got to get healthy within yourself, and then you got to learn how to recognize healthy in men. So there are two things I believe that need to happen before a woman gets back up there or she's setting herself up for pain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why I say we're vulnerable after years of being abused, even if it's not overt abuse, if it's very subtle abuse. But no matter how it is, rejection is abuse at any level. So women have no clue even what they're dealing with because they haven't even untwisted the whole ties to that marriage. And that's why I'm so glad, Suze, that you're part of our system because you're a phenomenal coach. I know women who have gone to you for help in getting their lives started again, restarted, where you've really helped them. I mean, women are always talking about you in our network on how much what you say has really impacted them. And sometimes having a coach who can help guide you through whatever problems you're having at the immediate time is not the same as therapy and counseling. This is to deal with your problems today, how to move
mm-hmm.
forward in a healthy way, how to start thinking about your needs, you know, first, and how to avoid making the same mistakes that so many of us keep making over and over. You know, I'm a very big repeater offender of mistakes. But eventually,
mm-hmm.
you know, I learned the hard way, but you can help people so they don't have to keep learning the hard way. They can do it in an easier way.
So
when people want to reach out to Suzette, you know, she's there. You don't have to be anywhere near North Carolina or even on the side of the country. You can be anywhere in the world, and through telephone or Skyping, Suzette's available as your coach. And Suzette, let's tell them your beautiful website.
It's www.coachsuzette.com.
And that's with one Z and two T's, right?
Yes.
Yeah. CoachSuzette.com. You can say it. You can write it as you hear it. CoachSuzette.com. And on there you'll read all about Suzette, about her services, about her books, about how she inspires people, about how she changes people's lives. And I don't want you to think for one moment I don't appreciate every month that you come on here, Suzette, and inspire our listeners. I know they wait for you, and they really appreciate you. So how are you doing otherwise? We haven't had a chance
great.
To chat ahead of time. You doing all right?
I know I'm doing great, still happily married. The longer I am with my sweet Robert, the more grounded, the more healed, the more self-assured, the more clear I am about my value and my worth. And that's the beautiful thing of being with someone that appreciates you. So
exactly.
I am tickled.
And for anyone who wants to know this, nothing personal, Suzette, but you're not a young chick. I mean, look,
no,
you can find
honey.
Happiness in your 40s, in your 50s, I'm in my 60s. It's not an age thing.
I'm 57, buddy. I'm catching up with you. I'm 57.
That's
so
right.
Y'all, I'm
you're moving ahead
you.
Pretty soon. Yeah, so women,
I'm
don't give up. You know, ladies,
don't
if you want to
up.
Find the love of your life, right, you can't give up, and Suzette will help you find the way. So, Suzette,
mm-hmm.
you know I love you.
I love you too, sweetheart.
All right, and I'll look forward to hearing from you again with our listening audience next month.
All right.
All right, so love to all of our ladies.
Yes, love you, ladies.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Love you, Suzanne.